As we can see in this verse, 2 Peter 1:19, according to the New Testament age is a nighttime. It's a nighttime. Of course, I was thinking about this actually in Luke. It says that when the Lord Jesus came, he was like the sun rising in its strength. So you could also say that the Old Testament was the nighttime and the New Testament, the sun has dawned when Jesus came. Yeah. But most verses, you'll find many more verses in the New Testament that say that the New Testament age is a dark age, and that his coming, his, the Lord's second coming, is the dawning, is the dawning. This talks about the morning star, which is before the dawning, at the darkest part of the age. These verses here in Revelation, I do believe we will be coming back to these verses throughout the Truth School. These talk about the seven spirits. And one point that I'm very burdened for this Truth School is this matter of intensification.
Right.
I'll say much more about that later. This is where in the Bible it's revealed that the spirit, the one spirit of God is intensified sevenfold.
Amen.
Why? This is to counter the darkness. Because the darkness is that dark. And even the darkness in today's age is intensified. But the spirit is more intensified.
Amen.
This year, we are studying the matter of the two spirits.
Amen.
Oh, dear saints, I know that more than half have been through the summer school or taught some of the summer school. Of course, that does not guarantee that you were in this particular summer school, but pretty much we assume that you covered this material at least once, right? At least once. But we also know that there's almost half, about 40%, who have never taught in the summer school. So you may have an opportunity to be in this material. Yet, of course, being in the Lord's recovery, you know something about the two spirits. But I do hope that through this fellowship and as we personally and corporately prepare in the coming almost 2 months for the True School, I do hope that we all could be freshly impressed with this point, that the two spirits, that is the Holy Spirit on God's side, God the Spirit, who has many names, right, as the Spirit of Jehovah and the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of Christ and just the Spirit, but also has this title, the seven spirits, that spirit, and our human spirit. That's the two spirits, right? His spirit and our spirit. And I do hope that through the course of the True School, even our middle schoolers would end up by what, August 12th, with an appreciation of my spirit.
Amen.
My spirit.
Amen.
I'm making this point. The spirit and our spirit together, that's the key to every spiritual experience.
Amen.
To every subjective experience of Christ, to every experience of the triune God, is actually an experience of the two spirits.
Amen.
If there were not the two spirits, God is still God. objective. Wonderful, amazing. What are those omni words? Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, but outside of us. And we only can experience his faithfulness, his care, which we appreciate. But because he's the Spirit, and I have a spirit, and one day those two spirits got joined, then I can experience the triune God.
Right.
And that for me, I have testified many times to most of you, that for me even began as a 7-year-old boy. Can you imagine? It's so easy. God made it so accessible that a 7-year-old boy could start to experience the triune God.
Right.
Most of the kids that we're dealing with start about 11 years old. It's not too much for an 11-year-old to have the subjective experience of the two spirits.
Amen.
And I hope we have some impression. Lord, thou art the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why I wanted to call this hymn first.
Yeah.
Saints, I hope. Just maybe a dream that on the way home, as we depart this place today in different directions, in many vehicles, you'll be singing, "Oh Lord, thou art the Spirit," and just appreciating, Lord, thank you.
Amen.
That you are the Spirit.
Amen.
If you were not the Spirit, you could not be so subjective and available the way you are to me. But also, imagine if he was the Spirit, but you didn't have a spirit. Then actually just the same. It doesn't matter how good he is. There's no access. There's no application. There's no touching, there's no reality. But there is, because we have a spirit. So the thing is, we have to learn how to use our spirit. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, many of our young people, we have young ones growing up, that wasn't too long ago, right? Wasn't too long ago. You were, you know, the target of our fellowship. But here you are. But I think you would agree. Even 9 or 10 years old in the church life, because children learn by observation and imitation, right? Children absorb things. I tell you, our 11 and 12 year olds, if you ask them, how do you exercise your spirit? They're going to have a few things to say. Before you teach them anything, they already have some concept.
Right.
And I venture to say that some of the things, although related, although close, will not actually be the real genuine exercise of the Spirit.
Right.
You can check me. If you do a survey on August 1st or on August 8th,
yeah,
right? The beginning of the two true school sessions, right? We're going to have August 1 to 7 with our high school group. And then August 8 to 12 with our middle school group, right? Junior high group. If you do a survey that first day, you check, I think I'm going to be right. What is it? They'll have things like calling on the Lord and singing and praying and pray reading and things like this. Related, close, but not the actual thing. I wonder if we do a survey here, what your answers would be. You might say, wait, you're saying those things are not? Yes, that's what I'm saying. not necessarily, because we will be teaching them, and it's in our book. It's in our book. In our book, you know, the lesson book will be made available at the lunch hour, right? For purchase, we'll have some available here. Well, we'll get into this. What is the exercise of the Spirit? Actually, according to the scripture, because be very clear, saints, even though we call this the lesson book, actually, this is the lesson book, okay? We're studying the Bible. We're studying the Bible, right? So we'll have these books and outlines, and then we're going to give you outlines. We didn't distribute the outlines to you. We have just the titles of the outlines. We'll pass that on to you later on. But actually, we're studying the Bible. According to the Bible, to exercise the Spirit is to exercise the three functions of the Spirit. And I feel this is something we must stress in this Jewish school. The functions of the human spirit, which are, and I think we should know this by now, which are the conscience, the fellowship, and the intuition. But the first one is the conscience. Even I could show you places in the ministry, even in the notes in the recovery version. Brother Lee has this kind of phrase. The conscience is the leading part of the spirit. Or the conscience is the main part of the spirit. And I would venture to say, not only the young people, but the serving saints. And not only the serving saints, but the saints at large in the Lord's recovery. If we would ask, what do you say is the main part of your spirit? I doubt that 10% would say the conscience. I doubt it. And if you had asked me before I read what Brother Lee said, I also would not say. I would answer like this. The main part of the spirit, well, I think it's the fellowship, but it might be the intuition, and it's definitely not the conscience. That would have been my answer. I expose myself. But I've come to learn, not only by teaching, but also by experience and by observation. Oh, the conscience is the main part of your spirit, the leading part of your spirit. If you think that you're exercising your spirit in this meeting, singing, "Oh Lord, thou," and then you fellowship and you have a good time with the saints all day, but you don't take care of your conscience, you are deceiving yourself. And if we do not help our young people with this truth, we all should be fired. We have to be faithful to help them with this truth. This one point, that this is just one point in one lesson, but this one point could open for them a realm of experience of Christ in their daily life. And you know what? You can't have conscience apart from fellowship and intuition. If you take care of your conscience, you're going to have fellowship with God. Because conscience leads to fellowship, and conscience maintains fellowship. Blessed are those who wash their robes. You know this verse? Revelation 22, what? 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have what? Right to the tree of life. What's the washing of the robe for? It's for eating. We saw this in the conference last weekend. Even that verse shows you conscience first, fellowship next. And this leads to that. And this is the basis for that. And this maintains that. Because if you're eating and you're enjoying the Lord, but then you have an offense with your sister or brother at home or with your mommy and daddy, what happens? It's like you go back to Genesis 3 and the tree of life is cut off again. And so you need to what? Just confess your sin. And what happens? Oh, way of the tree of life is open. And then you can eat. And then the more you eat, the more you have fellowship with God. You know what happens? Actually, then the intuition starts to operate. And the Lord will lead you. And then the next time you were about to say something to your little brother, the intuition inside, it's not conscious, the intuition will say, don't say that. Don't say that. And it'll catch you before that, before. So you end up, you don't sin. But how do you get to that point? You got to eat. You have to grow. So don't just confess. Confess and enjoy. Yeah. Anyway, it's just an example. These are the kind of things we're going to be talking to them. But this is so basic, so crucial. I'm afraid many of our young people have too much of an outward kind of impression of the spiritual life, of the Christian life, that it's practices. It's just practices. And when those practices don't bring the result, it's not real. Now, calling on the Lord, prayer, all these things are helps to have fellowship with God. That's how they fit in. That's how it fits in. And calling on the Lord is the most basic. It's the most basic. Calling on the Lord helps you to exercise your conscience. Mm-hmm. Calling on the Lord helps you to exercise fellowship. Calling on the Lord helps you to say amen to the intuition. So calling on the Lord is very basic. But you could call not out of a pure heart. It says you should be with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, that implies that you could be with some who call, but not out of a pure heart. In the Psalms, it talks about calling with a pure lip, with a pure tongue. And so your lips might not be pure, and yet you're still naming the name of the Lord. So you won't have the effect. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, the two spirits, this truth is actually, Brother Lee said this, the fact that Christ is the Spirit was the greatest truth revealed in the 20th century in the Christian church. This fact that Christ is the Spirit, it was the greatest truth revealed in the last century. Why? Because this makes everything of God's economy practical. Like the hymn says, subjective and available. And another verse says what? So ready and sufficient to for me now to apply. So that not only in the meeting, but at home with mommy and daddy, at school, or wherever you are, whether you're supposed to be there or not, you have the operation of the Spirit. And not only the Spirit, today, seven spirits. You know, Revelation 1:4 talks about seven spirits. 4:5 says that they're lamps, fire. 5:6 says they are eyes. Searching and burning. That's the spirit we have today. As I mentioned, many verses in the New Testament allude to the fact that this is a dark age. Even Revelation 1, 2, and 3. So much talk about lampstands. You know this, right? How many lampstands? Seven. Seven lamps. And each lampstand has seven lamps. So there are seven lampstands, and each one has seven lamps. Why do you need a lamp? Because it's dark. Why do you need that many lamps? Because it's darker. Saints, this is a dark age. This is a dark age. We began to practice the Summer School of Truth in 1984. What's that? 38 years, right? 38 years ago. Oh, I think those of us who are older can testify. The age today is much darker than in 1984. And I think even you, younger than 30 years old, you can tell the age is darker than when you were a teenager. What is the answer to the darkness? It's actually light. But where does light come from? The light to counter the darkness of this age comes from the Bible. The truth. But it has to be the truth in its rightful definition. It's not just knowing more of the Bible. Not just knowing more of the Bible. We know that already, that doesn't cut it. That's not enough. But we need the truth that brings the reality of the triune God even to an 11 or 12 year old. Amen. And that's possible. And it's possible. Saints, we in recent conferences, we have presented, especially I think to the high schoolers in April, we presented the matter that the mystery of lawlessness is operating in this age. And this is what it says. This is part of the prophetic word. You know, this verse talks about we have the prophetic word. It's not just the verses previous to this in 2 Peter. There are many, many prophetic words. One of them is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that says that the mystery of lawlessness is now operating. And it's operating until what? The man of lawlessness is revealed. And saints, I think we have the clear sense that this mystery is operating. So much so, it's a mystery of lawlessness. It's a mystery that we see some things and haven't you had the reaction? How could this be? How could it be? It doesn't make sense. Even the tragic events of this last month there in Buffalo, in southern Orange County in California, and then in Texas. Like, what? These innocent little lives snuffed. I mean, doesn't it cause a kind of reaction in you? Like, how? It's like, oh Lord, what kind of a world is this? And isn't it intensified? It's almost commonplace. I'm concerned people will become numb. Oh, another one. And like just turn the, you know. No. But you think, oh, like what? I don't understand. Yeah, you can't understand because it's a mystery. And then some things. And we've mentioned this verse quite a bit recently, Isaiah 5:20. That some people will call what? Evil, good. And good, evil. The Bible says it's good. The Bible says it's good, and we know it's good. But people say, no, that's evil. That's evil to have that concept. It's doesn't make sense. Don't you see? That's our feeling. Wait, don't you see the Bible? But they're, no, that's evil. And then it says, they take light for darkness. They take light for darkness. They say, you people, you believe that, you're from some other age. You're not enlightened. And then they take darkness for light. They think that the darkness they practice is, according to Romans chapter 1, is actually an enlightened society. But that's darkness. And we think, what's wrong with you? And you may think to your children, how can you think that? You can't understand how you can't understand because it's a mystery of lawlessness. So don't waste time either being frustrated or trying to figure it out. What we need to do is eat the tree of life, grow faster, and end this age faster. That will be our contribution to society. But in that same chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2, it says that the reason that people are deceived is because they did not receive the love of the truth. The love of the truth. Oh, we want our young people to love the truth. But what is the truth? The truth is simply the reality of our triune God that is conveyed to them through this book. That's the truth. Now, you know, transportation has, of course, improved over the course of the history of human society, right? Roads are better, and vehicles are, they improve. But my point is, this is our cargo. This is our cargo. This is our capital. These are our assets. And we're trying to convey these into the hearts of our young people. Now, it's possible we can improve our way of bringing this to them, of communicating this with them. We can improve so that we're not giving lectures and boring them before we get to our point, right? Because then the hearts close. So we can all improve, but don't ever blame the cargo. Do you get my point? Maybe we didn't get it to them fast enough because we're still in a covered wagon, we're still on horseback, right? And we should have gotten the medicine to them faster. Okay, so then, they died or a disease spread because we didn't reach them. So we have to do better. We have to do better in getting this to them. But don't think this is not the answer. I'm saying this for this reason. The True School, with these six levels, level one, God's salvation, God's full salvation. Level two, the triune God and the person and work of Christ. Level three is this one, the two spirits. Level four is life, the knowledge and experience of life, or knowing and experiencing life. Level five is the church, right? The vision and building up of the church. And finally, level six is the Bible, the Word of God. Yeah, that has been our subject matter. And we teach this on a rotating basis, going a cycle, six years. I have noted that in some places, not many, in some places. Over the last few years, there's been a gradual kind of moving away from this material. Still calling it the Summer School of Truth, but moving away for this material. I'm not saying this, saying it's in a critical way. I'm saying this for us here to learn because we're serving together. It's possible that some might think, oh, the true school material doesn't, it's not reaching the kids. It's not meeting the need. Oh, you know what we've been through in these last couple of years and the isolation and now we're meeting back together and we need to have more social things. We need to have more like, you know, even activities for them. And I'm not against activities. Many of you could testify on my behalf. I'm whatever opens their hearts. That's very, very good. There is always a limit. Be careful. Be careful with that. But and there also has been in the last several years, and this is a very good point, very positive point, an increased awareness among the serving saints. I would say even among the elders of the churches, concerning the necessity of or the importance of mental health. Mental health. Yeah, that's very good. That's very positive. However, maybe the reason that the young ones were not being helped by this material may not be all these extraneous things. It might just be we didn't know how to teach right. We could have done a better job to convey the cargo to them. And that's what this little booklet, Teacher's Training, attempts to do. Teacher's Training. This is the fellowship, and I know many of you know this, but we have 40% of the saints here who have never been through our training. Yeah. So I'd like to mention this, teacher's training. 4 short messages given in 1984. Brother Dennis and I, we were there with Brother Lee and I think around 100 saints. It's kind of about this size. Yeah, we're a little less than 100 here. And we had 2 meetings one day. We skipped a day and 2 meetings another day. Four messages. We have supplied you with 4 outlines. Actually, the first 2 outlines, not this one, sorry. The first 2 outlines attempt to summarize the content of this book. Yeah. So I think you already realize I'm not, my fellowship this morning is not to go through these outlines. We are supplying this to you as a help. I'm going to summarize this summary. Okay? That's what I'm going to do. So outline 1, it says message 1. Outline 1, do you see that? The proper understanding of teaching and receiving the word as the breath of God to produce God-man is a summary of chapters 1 and 2 in this book. Then message 2, learning to teach God's economy in an experiential way and converting doctrine into experience is a summary of chapters 3 and 4. Okay, 3 and 4. Then outlines here, 3 and 4, that have the same title. If you look carefully, it's actually one long outline with 10 points. 5 points in outline 3. They're called practical helps for conducting the small group meetings. And then outline 4 is the same title, part 2, with another 5 points. Okay. Those two outlines were written by us based on our experience of the true school and attempting to put the principles in this book into the group meetings. So you'll find as you, if you read the first two outlines, you learn all the principles. If you read the last two outlines, I hope you can see how those principles apply to the groups. And the group time is the most important part of the True School. When we come together here in August, each session will be something like this, that we have, of course, some singing together, like a meeting, something like this. And then one, two, or three brothers will present the truth. And a little longer to the older ones, a little shorter to the younger ones. And then each message or lesson session will be accompanied by a group time. That's when you go to work. Well, actually, you'll be working the whole time because you have to shepherd them in the meeting, outside the meeting, and so on. But in the group time, that's when it's important for you to know the truth.
Right.
And to be able to apply at least one point, just one point to them from that material, from that lesson, with a testimony. With a testimony or a story, because it could be your testimony. It could be somebody else's testimony that you feel, oh, this will help them to see the point, so that when they leave that group time, they have a handle on how to experience what seems like, oh, a big truth in the Bible. Okay? So I would like to summarize all of this fellowship, with these three words, okay? With these three words. We've covered this in the past a number of times. The purpose, the nature, and the way. So what is the purpose of the True School? What is the nature of the True School? And what is the way to carry out the True School? And you'll see that the way depends or comes out of the nature, and the nature is directed by the purpose. Yes. So in a simple way, what is the purpose of the True School? you could summarize a few different ways, but I would give you these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and chapter 3, verse 15. Okay. 1 Timothy 2, 4 says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And so to understand that verse, you have to understand what it means by truth, and you have to understand what it means full knowledge. Because right away people will think, or people could think, oh, that means know the Bible. And okay, yes, that's one layer, but it's so superficial. As we mentioned, what is truth? According to the revelation in the Bible, truth is the triune God, the person of God himself, conveyed through the word of God. Because this is called the truth, right? Your word is truth, John 17, 17. But basically this, we want every young person under our care to know God.
Right.
Not just to know about God,
right. But
to know him.
Amen.
And we want that the truths that are shared would help them to know him better. A little bit more. A little bit more. Of course, our entire Christian life is a quest to know him. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Our entire lives are a quest to know him. Saints, every day has meaning.
Amen.
Every single day of our lives on this earth, every single day has meaning. Because that day, we can know him.
Amen.
A little more. Amen. Doesn't matter what's scheduled that day.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a humdrum day. Maybe you have some good things planned. Maybe you have some things that you detest, that you're, oh no, it's, you know, like, but you know, that day you can know him. And the way we know him, basically two things, right? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's how we know him. And so that's what our true school is. We're trying to convey the Word of God and help them touch the Spirit of God. And then this year, we're actually studying the Spirit of God, which you can only access by your Spirit, right? So that's the purpose of the true school. You could also say this way, in one word, what is the purpose of the true school? Reality. We want them to have reality. I think for those of us who have grown up in the church life, we all have contemporaries that somewhere along the line, when decided not to continue this way. There may seem to be many factors, many reasons, and even legitimate and so on. But I would venture to say one thing. That is a lack of reality. And I'm not blaming anyone. Because along the way, we just were not able to help them to touch reality. Because if God is real to you, my, you could withstand a lot. You know, some people, they leave us because they get offended. Actually, a great number. This is maybe the top reason, offended by someone in the church life. And you know, in human life, in family life, in the church life, you cannot avoid offenses. I don't know if I ever offended you. You don't have to answer. But I know you have never offended me. Never. Never. But your sister's here, right?
Yeah.
Notice that. Where's Marty? There she is. Yes, sir. I have no idea. I have no idea. Probably, I know you love each other so much, but my guess is that at least one time you offended her.
Do I need to answer?
No. I'm just guessing. And I also think that at least one time she offended you. You took? Why? Because they live together. You still live in the same place?
Yeah.
Because you can't avoid. I mean, couples. But you love each other. You love each other, right? You can't avoid. Right? You love each other, but you can't avoid. Don't answer. But I tell you, if you eat the tree of life, if that's a reality to you, oh, you can forgive. There's a treasure store of forgiveness. There's a treasure store of forgiveness. You can even forgive people way before they offend you. Just forgive everybody. Just decide, I'm forgiving everybody. That's the best. Then you never get offended. There's a treasure of forgiveness. That can be your reality. Don't you want that? Doesn't everybody want that? Okay. I tell you, if God is real to you, you can overcome offenses. You know that story, Matthew 18. Matthew 18, the Lord gives a little parable. The Lord forgives this one person so much. And then he's leaving and finds somebody else that owes him, and he doesn't forgive him. That story showed, oh, you should forgive everyone from your heart just because of how much he's forgiven you. Okay, if you have that as reality, you can stay in the church life. I think this is in chapter 2 in here. You can read more. How the word of God can operate in you to release you from the self that just cannot forgive people. How do you get that? Okay, you know this verse. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for what? Teaching for? Is it? Conviction, correction, instruction in righteousness. You skipped over conviction for some reason. That's the conscience. For teaching, for conviction. What is teaching in that verse? Teaching, Brother Lee illustrates. Teaching in that verse is this. Teaching is the lifting of the veil. He actually did this when we were together. Teaching is when our teaching should be this. A rolling away of the veil. But sorry to say, some of our teaching is this. The more we talk, the more blind people are. But we need to have a teaching that what? Brings what? Conviction. And what is conviction in that verse? Conviction is not, shepherd, you're wrong. No. Conviction in that verse, if you study the Greek word, means you condemn yourself. You're like, oh no, I'm wrong. Then what? Correction. Surely if you see yourself, you'll want to have a different way. And then what? Instruction in righteousness. You don't have to figure that out. That's from the word and the intuition. The Lord will lead you in the proper way. And you know what? Probably the first instruction in righteousness is apologize to my brother. And then you know what's happening while you're doing that? You're being equipped to be a man of God with the breath of God. But how do you get there? What's the starting point? The starting point, and this is also in this book, the starting point is the Bible, is the God-breathed scripture. So saints, the first thing is we have to inhale the word of God. Inhale the word of God and enjoy the word of God so that it has some effect on us. And it you know, Hebrews 4 says, the word of God is living and operative, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit. It will operate. Just get into it, but get into it the right way. By breathing. Although, and I've mentioned this, I even mentioned this last weekend, sometimes we don't get the full effect of our enjoyment in the word because within our heart, either we're not as open as we think, or there's too much in our heart, too much clutter, too many things accumulated in our heart that we have not let go, that we have not exhaled before the Lord So there's no room in our heart. We say, Lord, make your home in our heart. And he says, where? Which every room is full. So we say, Lord, have your way. Open every room. Every room's open. Every room is unlocked. Every door is open. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, right? I stand at the door and knock. Why does the Lord have to knock? Firstly, because he's outside. Second, because the door's closed. So we have to open the door of our heart. Whenever we touch the word, say, Lord, don't let me be deceived that I'm not actually as open as I think. Lord, please come in. Please come in. Okay, reality. And then 1 Timothy 3:15 says that the church is the pillar of truth. But the only way for the church to hold up the truth is if personally all the members of the church have reality and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Nature. I like to summarize this in one word as well. What is the nature of the true school? This is on the first page, in the first page here, and in our first outline. The nature is a restaurant. That's what Brother Lee said. Oh, I remember that initial impression when I heard Brother Lee say this. The nature of the true school is a restaurant. I've shared this testimony, I think, with some of you before. I was with a group of saints, actually in another country, and they wanted to have fellowship with us about the true school. And so, we sat with them, a couple of brothers, and then the first thing these saints asked is, brothers, what's the dress code for the true school? And how long should the skirts of the sisters be? When I heard this question, I said, wait. Brothers, I have to ask you a question first, and then we'll be happy to try to answer all your questions. Okay, but I ask you a question, brothers. What is the nature, as far as you understand, what is the nature of the true school? Oh, this brother, one brother among them, before I finished my sentence, and somewhat with a little kind of attitude, was like, you know that, I don't know what you call that. He psst me. It was like this. It was like training. Like this, with a little psst and a pursing of the lips. I forgave him. But I have to admit, there was a little like, oh Lord, amen. So, I have to say, that's not the only case. Yeah. That even maybe you might think the way we conduct our true school, because it is a school. This is not our invention. Brother Lee said school. We asked him, Brother Lee, if you want it to be a restaurant, you don't want it to be like a school, like a training. Why do you call it school? He didn't answer the question. It's a summer school of truth. Because, you know, we do know, we've learned, we have some experience now it's been decades. We know that children learn in certain environments when they're under discipline, direction. That helps people learn. Yeah. But we don't want to have an atmosphere of school, and certainly not an atmosphere of training where, and I've seen pictures in some places, and I'm talking about other countries, where the young people are sitting there at their desks with the white shirt, the little 12-year-old boy with the tie and a briefcase on the side. And it looks like, you know, FTTA Junior. And you may not understand the heartache when I saw that picture. Like, oh, saints, no, not like this. That's not how we learned. That's not what was passed to us. Of course, everyone is, you know, this is not intended as a criticism. I'm only sharing this because we're family here. And for you to try to understand the burden. So the nature is that we just want to serve them, God. We want them to gain God. You could say this way. And in essence, Brother Lee says this, that in every class that you have or every small group time, when the group is finished, maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's an hour. When the child gets up and leaves the room, they go with more God than when they came in.
Amen.
That's what we want. We don't want them to know more, learn more, memorize more, but we do. We have memory verses. You know, memory verses are very important because they will forget everything that we say. Do you even remember one message that I ever gave? Honestly, do you? No, you can answer. Paul, do you remember one message? Parts, right? Parts here, there. You don't even know what the point was. But you remember, like I said that. But I don't think I could. Oh, what outline? Or what, you know, what, you don't know? Yeah, me too. I don't know why we still talk so much. Because people don't remember. But when you memorize the word of God, oh, you take God with you. And then you have the Holy Spirit with you. At any point in time, the Holy Spirit can take that verse and, whoa, life and light. It'll just come to you. Oh, we don't have time. I had an experience just the other day. 3 a.m. Oh, the light just broke forth. Oh, released me from a bondage. Because that Bible, that word was in my heart. But if you don't have the word in your heart, it's very different. Then you need the messages to get your understanding open. So it's not just the Bible. It's the Spirit, the Word, and the Spirit. So in these sessions, every session, whether it's a big corporate session, whether it's a small group, just this, more God. More reality. More reality. And then the way. Well, if that's the nature and that's the purpose, then what's the way? Well, the way starts with the Bible. The way starts with me reading the Bible, enjoying the Bible, eating Christ, getting light. The way starts with prayer. If you read this, I think it's chapter 3, much prayer. And you'll see those, if you come to serve with us, we get together early in the morning, I forget, 6:30, 7, and when we come together, we encourage each other. Don't pray for the young people yet. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet for the young people. This is a hard one for some of the older saints to get. We come together. Oh, Lord, bless the young people today. We said, shut up. But we never say that. But we're like, shh, no, sister, wait. It's usually a sister's. But no, wait. Sisters, let's just enjoy the Lord. They go, oh, amen. Let's enjoy the Lord first. Let's all touch the Spirit first. Let's all fan into flame first. Let's all get so filled with the Lord that we don't even remember our name. You don't remember your responsibility. What group are you? I don't remember. Praise the Lord. That would be so wonderful. Every morning we're just filled with the Spirit so much. So you'll see, we always bother the saints. We say, get up. You know this, right? Pray in a little group of 5 or 6, Brother Lee said. 5 or 6. You won't find this in the book. This is the instruction he gave us. That's why I'm always, some brothers say, do it 4 or 5. I always say, no, 5 or 6. Brother Lee said 5 or 6. Not too small, not too big. And then he told us, because what will happen? That morning, on the way to the meeting, something will happen in your life, and you'll get offended by your roommate, by your spouse, by a fly, by something, you know, you'll be bothered by something. I bet, you know, didn't you ever get perturbed by an insect? And then you come to the meeting and you're because that insect, can you imagine that? How much we have to overcome? I mean, some people read Hebrews 11, what they overcame, and we overcome insects. And that's hard for us sometimes. But something that when you come to pray, you'll sit there and you won't pray. Everybody's prayer reading. You won't pray. So Brother Lee said, don't allow that. Get everybody to get in a circle. 3, 4, 5, or 6. And when a seventh one comes, just break up into 3 and 4. You know, because people come a little bit later. So just start to pray. Why? So that in a sense, you push everyone to participate. Push everyone to participate, to fan yourself into flame. And this is, it's like the saints, it's like this. There's no like Superman here. There's no Superwoman here. Everybody needs somebody else to fan them into flame. Maybe we 4 or 5, we 5 brothers are praying. And today I'm flat. When I come in the morning, I'm flat. Why? Because I made a mistake. I check my email before coming. You know, sometimes you check your email, you're, hey, man, oh, it's just, your whole life just drains. So don't do that before your morning prayer. Don't do that. And so I did that, and I'm down. And then the brothers are praying, hey, man, and praying and praying. And eventually, after a minute, it's a little, amen. Amen. There's a little amen. And then, okay. But then the next day, then Sam's the one that comes flat. Yeah. And then we fan him. And then we all take turns. Yeah. It's like that. So just come and first fan yourself into flame. The point is, what is that? That really is just get into the spirit. Amen. Get into the spirit. Then maybe the most critical thing is this point, which is the title of outline 2, learning to teach God's economy in an experiential way and converting doctrine into experience. Maybe that's the most critical. And that's also the most difficult and requires the most practice. Converting doctrine to experience. One way to do that, he shows us. And this you can't get from our outline. You have to read the book to get it. Is to ask a question. A proper question. A question that will solicit responses and fellowship that draws out discussion, like what the Lord Jesus did in Luke 24. Yeah, what are you talking about? You know that story, the two disciples to Emmaus? The Lord asked questions. And then he said, are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place here? And you know what? He could have said, yeah, I know, because it's like talking about me. But he didn't answer that. He didn't say that. You know what he said? He says, what things? What kind of a God, man? Oh my goodness. Mwah! I mean, he's just so, whenever I read Luke 24, I just fall in love with him more. What things? Almost like he's playing. And then you read on, and then he acts as if they ask, oh, please come stay with us. I don't know what he said. But he acted as if he would go further, which to me means he probably said, no, it's okay. No, I don't want to be too much trouble. And he, no. So we have to eat that pattern.
Amen.
To be that kind of God-man with our young people. To ask the right questions. And sometimes I illustrate this way. In God's salvation, we cover something like, you know, we cover the fall of man. Right. It's actually a big, wonderful lesson, the fall of man. If you were to ask a 14-year-old brother in your group, what is the fall of man? If they would give you this answer, and they would say, the fall of man. Well, God created man in his image, with image and dominion, Genesis 1:26, put man in front of the tree of life, because life is God's economy, fulfills God's purpose. But man fell, and then he was condemned to death, John 3:36, the wrath of God, and destined for the lake of fire. And then in our spirit is deadened, Ephesians 4:19, and our soul is corrupt, so we became the self, and our body is defiled, and we're the flesh. Oh, if a 14-year-old would give an answer like this, what kind of grade would you give? Would you have to give them an A++? Oh, this is a great answer. You might get, oh, praise the Lord, you got it. No, because after the truth stool, they go home and they still lie to mommy and they cheat. No, because such an answer has no effect. So that's not the way to teach. So Brother Lee showed us, what's the way to teach? The way to teach might be this. Might be. This is not the way, but might be. Boys, did any of you lie this last week to your mom? Why? Why did you lie? Even you say, I didn't know. That's probably a lie. But why? And you could ask them, do you remember the first time you lied to your mommy? Oh, then they might think, how old were you? And they will tell you, I was 6. Oh, really? Could you tell us? And then, the other boys will be very interested. Then how did you feel when you lied? So, I was so nervous that my mommy would find out that I took that from the cupboard. And did you get away with it? How'd you feel? Oh, I went into my room and I was sweating at first. And then the whole, we all went through that. And I'd like to ask you, did you sweat this week? Probably not. Probably none of them sweat this week, because they've become master liars. You could tell them, you are probably a master of deception. Some of the boys will be. You know, I believe in Revelation 22, it says, outside are the liars. Did you ever decide, I'll never lie again? Yeah. Never lie again. Did it work? It's, of course not. Why? That's the fall. That's the fall. Because you're still affected by the fall. So I think that'll be a different impression. That, oh, that's what we're talking about. I'm still a slave of sin. So you see, that's we're trying to give them, we're trying to bring the cargo to them. And it's not easy. And you cannot repeat what I just did. You try it. Maybe it'll work one time. But that's all. That's maybe. I doubt it, actually. You have to find your way.
Yeah.
For each point of each lesson.
Right.
That's what we want. To find a way. Oh, I tell you, if those 11 and 12-year-old children, those young brothers and sisters, those newly baptized and saved members of the body, you know, they're new ones. There are new ones. If they could be helped with one point a day like that, oh, my goodness. What a foundation to their Christian life. What a foundation to their Christian life. So that's the purpose, the nature, and the way. Saints, if we would have this and learn, and I've just really scratched the surface of what Brother Lee has here. I do believe the young people would be more engaged. They'd be more hungry. We create hunger. We stir hunger in them. We stir the hunger. You have to, you know, aroma and presentation draws out the hunger. When people, when you have a nice presentation, it's like, oh, it makes you feel like, can we hurry up and pray so we can eat? Did your kids ever say that? Can we hurry up and pray? Because it looks so good. Smells. Oh. That's our restaurant. That's what we want. But in our true school, in our young people's meetings, I don't think are that way. Sorry, I just don't think they're that way. But they can be. Okay, last point for the last 4 minutes. Then I hope there'll be some responding. Revelation. Intensification. I feel, saints, that this year, there are certain points that we need to emphasize from the material. And in the following lesson, after lunch, Brother Dennis will lead us through as much as possible the key, outlines, well, not the outlines, the lessons that we're going to be covering, just to highlight certain points. In each lesson, highlight certain points. However, we can't highlight everything. And they're to meet today's need, where they are and where we are, there are certain things we need to focus on. You know, 1 Chronicles 12:32 talks about the man of Issachar who knew the times and understood what they should do. Something like this. Men who knew the time and understood what they should do. And I feel that for our time today, there are especially maybe 4 points that need to be emphasized. One is this matter of the all-inclusive life giving spirit.
Amen.
Especially for the younger ones, that they would know the Lord is with them everywhere, at every time, so ready and sufficient for them to apply. That the Lord is so accessible, that the Lord is their invisible friend with them, and not only with them, but within them. Oh, that they could know this. The all-inclusive, life-giving spirit. The available one. Who brings all the riches, all the reality of God to where you are.
Amen.
Last weekend in the conference, we talked about this. The Lord presents himself always as food. When he came, food. And in one place, what we see is that he's not only the bread, he's the crumbs under the table. So no matter how low you are, and how low you think of yourself, he's available. He reaches you. He reaches you. Second is the matter of the word, the relationship between the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. To know the Spirit, we must have the Word. Number three is the functions of the Spirit, particularly the conscience. I already demonstrated this, that they would know how to exercise their conscience in order to exercise their spirit. And then number four is the seven spirits. And I believe in years past, you know, we never emphasized this. We never had this as an emphasis. We have gone through this cycle now, this six times complete. This is our seventh time in the Northeast to go through. And we never emphasized this. And it's appropriate that on the seventh time, we would emphasize the seven spirits. Because today, we are already in the age of the seven spirits. Actually, we don't have the realization. The entire New Testament age is the age of Revelation, the book of Revelation. The entire New Testament age, he has been intensified as the sevenfold spirit. But I think God's people have not had that kind of experience, that kind of realization. But dear saints, I think it's time. Amen. And you know what that shows? I tell you, in 1 month, God can do a lot in your life. In one month, what maybe years ago took half a year or a year, the Lord can accomplish in 1 month. He wants to go faster. He wants to go faster. He wants people to turn back faster. And then be on fire faster, stronger. And our kids need to know that they have the sevenfold spirit. Yes, the age is dark. We're brighter. Yes, the temptations are fierce. We're still stronger. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And not only greater, now greater, intensified. That's what our young people need. I would say even the junior hires need. And don't think this is far-fetched. Maybe the younger ones can get this faster than the older ones. They have less concepts and less baggage. Left history. Saints, I think even the ones who have the history and have, you know, they can repent. They can be on fire instantly until the end. I believe the Lord wants to do this with our young people at this time. Amen. Let's pray for a minute or two and then still 10 minutes for your overflow sharing. Amen.